Very good afternoon. Welcome back. If you've just joined us, Ludmila Yamalova, Managing Partner with Yamalova and Plefka Legal Consultants, is with us. And Mike Small of VSM Consulting, regular contributors every week on The Property Show. And our guest today is Keith Lupton, who's the VP of Regional Sales for Worldwide Auctioneers. Good afternoon to all of you. And we're talking really about the auctions, about the, well, we've kind of gone off subject a little bit, talking about cars and all sorts of
cars
things,
and generators, machinery.
And Bobcats and GBCG, what are they called?
JCBs,
the whole lot of them, yeah. Love to have a drive of one of those. Would you not?
I've always wanted to have a go with those. I've always had the fantasy about like driving a big snowmobile or some kind of, you know, some not a snowmobile, but a snowplower, that's it.
Oh, really?
Like a snowplower, some kind of a heavy machinery.
You might be in the wrong
place. Not many here.
That's what I wanted to ask Keith, actually, because, you know, recently, ironically enough, I attended...
It'd be a side business, that, actually. Yeah, drive well, our equipment in the desert.
Well, of course, JCB do have their... they sponsor, like, a playground.
Oh, kids. Is that big trucks, big boys, big toys
yes,
or something?
Yes, yeah, on the American trucks, of course, fantastic. Yeah. All their chrome and bits and bobs. Yeah.
Well, you know, recently I attended another conference, and it was actually about, you know, it was put on by a Russian heavy machinery manufacturer. And, you know, ironically enough, most of the presentation was focused on these sort of amphibia-like heavy machinery vehicles and snow plowers and, you know, everything that has to do with water and snow. And then, you know, obviously one of the guests from the conference raised the question, you know, what's the application of that kind of machinery in this region? But it was pretty impressive to see, what the sort of the manifestation of this heavy machinery, and it had something to do with the Russian market, I think it was a part of the Russian Business Council, and it was actually quite interesting, but you know, it's sort of I couldn't quite see the application.
It was the snow plow that got you there.
I told you I had that fetish. So I'm curious, in the Gulf, I mean, we don't really have much of sort of water, that we need to kind of to swim through in terms of construction.
Well, maybe the offshore stuff there.
Well, yeah, we have an major client who is oil and seismic survey.
Yeah.
And in fact, we just sold several items that would have done actually for, I hadn't thought of that, in Alaskan type.
Yeah. Yes.
The tundra.
That's exactly right.
Whereas these were used for marshland, and of course quite a few in Abu Dhabi for the mangroves. I was trying to ring
there you
my
go. So there's the answer. So there was some application to the tundra vehicles here.
Right. They did very well in March and June, the last auction, they bombed a little bit here. You know, you've got to need one.
Yeah. But what sort of the equivalent here for the sand conditions? Is there like a
sandpower? Well, this company tried the snowcats and it didn't work very well. You need both rubber and the Canadians are rather good at this. They came up with some items that could work in the sand.
Mm. And so there isn't really a Western, reputable manufacturer of heavy machinery just for sand.
Holland is
very
good,
for sand.
Because of the polders and the... And very wide tyres, balloon tyres.
Right.
And go bombing around Bouhassa and Bab.
But I mean, we were sort of saying on the break there. The construction industry here goes at different stages. I mean, the beginning stages, you'd need for the foundations, the big machinery. But for example, if it's a tower block, as it is built and constructed, then you wouldn't really have so much demand, I would imagine, for this equipment. So does it come in stages?
And yes, the development very much. You've got the land clearing, so you've got the bulldozers, which I personally love. That's where the money is. But but then the cranes, and of course, for a long time, a huge market in the telehandlers, the forklift that can go into the container and grab the load and then lift it up to Mr. Bricklayer three stories up, kind of thing.
Do you sell cranes as well?
Yes, very much so. Talking about high-rise buildings, the only thing that I've always found a bit of a flop is actually tower cranes at auction, unless you put them half up. It's a limited audience, whereas other cranes, some of them 30 years old, my gosh, go really good money.
Because, yeah. I mean, Dubai always used to have that reputation, doesn't it, as, yeah, as just being
the tallest cranes. Yeah.
The largest amount of, yeah, large, cranes,
something
or something
like 25%
we
of
all
the world's
Abu Dhabi
cranes.
Had that 15 years ago.
So you haven't seen many of those shifting, though? I mean,
no, but many have gone quietly.
Before, right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
What happens when a company buys all this heavy machinery, all these cranes, and then they complete the project? Then what do they do with that equipment?
This is where we love to be. The unreserved auction started in America, and they really, it is a formula that's worked for 60, 70 years, because everything sells for what it's worth. But we are absolutely answer to a contractor's prayer, mainly because the client has squeezed him on the price. He's, the price of concrete has gone up halfway through his contract, but he's sitting on equipment he owns, okay, and we can turn that into dollars, and there you are.
And normally you buy, sorry,
I was going to say, maybe the same you question, do they not rent it?
Yeah, you buy it back at what discount?
We tend only to buy a special package that would be Cat or, I'm sorry to mention names, but in fact would be Cat or Komatsu heavy. Right. Whereas 100 buses would be of little interest, for example,
I'm just
especially if they were Tata or whatever.
The depreciation itself. So, for example, I can imagine you'd be selling, let's say, the new equipment to a particular construction company and then buying that same equipment back from them, you know, 2-3 years after.
Yes,
do you do that? And so what's the depreciation? You know, what's the percentage of discount, I guess, when you buy it back?
It depends on the item. The buses and some of the trucks would go down to about 30-40%. Spares also descend. Spare parts, really, if the chap gets 15% of what he ever paid for them, he's very lucky.
Oh, so it's over a what period of time depreciation?
Over 5 years. But anything Mercedes, Volvo, I'm sorry, really his names. You can put a heap of old junk with Mercedes star on it and it'll go well.
And do most of the contractors then actually buy the equipment? There's not a renting market.
Well, the banks are a bit unimaginative of letting their clients sell. I'm certain this happens in property as well.
Mike?
And it's far better.
It's unimaginative, I can't believe it.
To get 60% of what the chap owes and let him go through. And what frustrates myself and our CFO is that we're happy to, you know, Mr. Banker, we put the contract in his name. We guarantee the payment goes straight to him, and the owner, inverted commas, will never see a penny of it.
But they're not really, they don't...
Oh, yeah, well, it might make a loss. I'm afraid he's already in a loss situation because Joe Smough owes him...
And do you get a lot of sort of companies that come sort of foreclosed, construction companies that have got, you know, they've got to basically offload all this equipment and because they...
Yes, it can be complex with the title.
Right.
We have to have clear title.
Right.
It's almost a mantra you hear from all the auctioneers.
Mm. Have you seen actually to that end? Have you seen many companies, sort of many construction companies, kind of dwindle or you know go bust?
They often want unrealistic prices. It's hard going because of it's usually a title mess and the liens from banks and even the client or whatever.
Yeah, I was also wondering, because from what I understand in other countries, especially Western countries, I mean, the sort of the heavy machinery is more of a leasing business. I mean, companies don't really buy to own, and they just lease it.
Because they don't pay tax here. You see, there's no income tax, per se.
Oh,
so
I see.
So I'm not... Leasing, it's not really saving
There's no tax
me.
Incentive, no.
Voilà.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Right, so it's a very different market, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, gosh, we're going to have to leave it there, actually, but it's been a pleasure. It's been an insight into a whole other world this afternoon. And thank you very much for joining us. And now, let's give out your website. It's
ironauctions.com.
Yes. You've got one coming up, as you mentioned, on the 5th.
August the 5th in the evening.
Yep.
And a 3-day big affair, September 9, 10 and 11.
And can anyone go down, or do you have to register?
No,
everyone's welcome.
You have to register to get a book. book, although I'm certain if the radio come along, I'll rip off a staff book.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Maybe me and Linda will go down and have a look.
And can we drive one of these?
27,000.
Can we take it for a test drive before we...
100,000 dirhams to register, but we will occasionally, a chap comes in and says, right. I want to buy a car for my wife.
Yeah.
I'll say, give me 10,000 dirhams, or something that CFO can be happy with, because it's not our gear in the main, so we have to protect the owner.
Right.
Sure. The people bidding have competence, and we'll complete.
Right. Oh, sorry, one follow-up question. Do you deal with classic cars?
We did two. They were not successful, I regret.
Mm. Okay.
We did one. Probably our timing was wrong. We were great enthusiasm. Was just before the Yas first Grand Prix.
Right.
And we thought, yeah, they'll all come over. But unfortunately, by the time they get to the Grand Prix, they get so fascinated with wow, 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 that they don't move.
Mm.
And it was a bit of a... The problem is they're not quite appreciated by the general public.
There's a growing market though, because there was a story just recently, wasn't there, about setting up a classic car association and
right,
something
yes.
else about that, because and of course they have that exhibition every year on Imar Boulevard, which is just phenomenal.
Quite well.
And there's
great.
there's a real underground, so to speak, kind of appreciation of classic cars. You don't see them on the roads, unfortunately, but I know a few people who do have them.
Things are getting better. Yeah. I believe the RTA have made a special.
That's right.
They have,
it's a question of coming. Yes, the young chaps seem to be very keen. And you had the very old, quite affluent fellows who, instead of collecting stamps, are collecting cars. Ferraris or whatever.
Very quickly, there's a question, I don't know if you can help with this, but Claire has texted in saying, morning, or good afternoon, where would I find a right-hand drive car to take to Kenya, and how would I go about shipping it?
I would love to say to our auctions, but we've cut down a bit on right-hand drive, more because there aren't many around. Go to the top of the Ras El Khor.
Right.
There's guys who specialise in right-hand vehicles there.
Thanks very much. Hope that helps, Claire. Yeah. Thank you very much, Keith. It's been a pleasure. All the best to you. Thanks for joining us. Keith Lupton there, who's the VP of Regional Sales for Worldwide Auctioneers Limited. Now, again, if you'd like to check them out and find out about what they do and their auctions, www.ironauctions, I-R-O-N, auctions.com is the website. More to come on the programme, and we'll be back after this.